podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route, Red 7, Hot Route.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
Hey, 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 there's a win over an NFC North opponent. The first time in 11 tries. They were 0,
it's been a long time.
0 for their last 10, but today a convincing win over the Detroit Lions.
Yes, yes, yes. The John Fox's Bears were, 1-5 against this team? Gotta give me wrong about that, but
well, they were 1-9 in their last 10 against the Lions.
Yeah, yeah. So the Bears had to do what they had to do, and they beat the Lions. This is a team they should have beaten, and they did it handedly.
Welcome in episode 190 of Hogan Johns. Bears win 34-22 over the Lions. We're at Soldier Field. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, Hoge, at Adam Johns, Jahns. Post game reaction at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. We hope you are subscribing and telling your friends, coworkers, family, whatever, about Hogan Johns. Please hit subscribe. Please get them to subscribe. And please rate and review the podcast if you don't mind. All right. Let's dive into this thing. There's some good and some bad. Kicker, kicker, doink, doink.
It should be doink, 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 doink.
Doink. Yeah,
that's four.
Is it possible that the Bears actually have the best kicker?
Like he was trying to do that?
I mean,
I have never seen anything like that.
I don't think
before.
There's any kicker in the league that could do that.
Yes. It was quite amazing.
All right, well, we'll save that for a little bit. I think we got to start with Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky was outstanding. From start to finish, Matt Nagy called it Mitch's best game of the season. And really, I thought from start to finish, he was on point. I loved Nagy's game plan coming out. They ran some no huddle. They were calling two plays at a time. That was forcing the Lions, preventing the Lions from substituting. Mitch would get up to the line of scrimmage, look at the coverage, take a lot of time looking at the coverage,
he seemed to be checking a lot.
He was checking, whether that was a dummy check or not. He was making signals. It looked like he was doing a lot of the line scrimmage.
Whatever he was doing, it was right.
But most importantly, post-snap, he was making the right throws, and some of them were outstanding throws. You could even say, Adam Johns, that he threw the football through a keyhole.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And some of his incompletions, might I add. One was a spectacular throw to Taylor Gabriel that looked like right on the money. Great defensive player. Who was it? Quandre Diggs?
Yeah, good offense, better defense.
Yes, yes, yes. He had a couple throwaways. I think one drop by Anthony Miller. Very good. Yes, throwing the ball through keyholes.
One where Tariq Cohen made a business decision and just said, I'm not going to get hit by that guy, and pulled up. Which is fine.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. But throwing the ball through keyholes, Adam.
Lots of keyholes today. Watch out if you're a keyhole. 23 of 30, 355 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Maybe most importantly, no interceptions. And really, not even that moment that we've seen in some of his good games where there's at least that one time where you're like, oh, no, don't throw that ball.
Yeah, the one head-scratching play. I think if we had to pick one, maybe the sack at the 1 yard line, which seemed surprise him.
Yeah, that guy came on pretty hard.
Yeah, I think that he was surprised at how fast he was on him. Obviously, there was a miscommunication. Something went awry up front. He was talking to Charles Leno Jr. almost immediately. But look, that's just plain old nitpicking if we're focusing on that play.
No, I mean, his decision making was really, really good in a big game for the Bears, a must win for the Bears. Allen Robinson coming back was huge. 8 targets. Mitch went to him early and often, 6 catches, 133 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You could really see how Allen Robinson makes a difference for this offense today.
Yes, Winslow's 1-on-1 matchups. It's the size-speed combination. He is your number one wide receiver.
He's just a very polished wide receiver.
Do you know the Bears have 4 receivers, well, counting Trey Burton, the tight end, that have over 400 yards receiving this year?
Wow, I was going to say that they have at least 4 receivers that have gone over 100 yards in a game this season,
yes,
too.
Yeah, well, they got that, too. Yeah. Well, here's the stats. Here's the stats. Tariq Cohen, oh, you got to count Tariq Cohen, 435 yards receiving. Taylor Gabriel, 426. Trey Burton, 411. And Allen Robinson, 418. And you have Anthony Miller coming on at number 5, 332.
He's got to be there close.
He had his first 100-yard receiving game of his career today.
Yeah, 5 catches for him on 6 targets, 122 receiving yards and a touchdown for Anthony Miller, who maybe though just needs to rein it in just a little bit.
Oh, come on. I love it. He was the first person on the sideline shoving. Gosh, who shoved Mitch Trubisky out of bounds? Number 40.
Oh, Jared Davis.
Okay, yes. Yeah. First person there to shove back, Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
I like that.
Maybe a shove to the face, though?
It's fine.
The NFL's going to look at that video. There was a couple swats to the face that... that was one of those situations.
Punch was thrown back at him too, my friend.
I liked how the officials handled that specific situation because you had the original penalty, and instead of throwing extra flags and having it all offsetting because both teams were going after each other at that point, they made sure that the original penalty still mattered by just letting that be the one penalty. That was really one of the only good moments the officials had in this game. Terrible.
We got a whole official rant coming a little bit.
Well, this involves Anthony Miller, who my theory was that the officials just got tired of Anthony Miller today.
You might be on this.
I mean, he was talking a lot. There was a lot of extracurricular activities in the faces of the DBs. The DBs were in his face. They had to pull him away or tell him to go away like multiple times. And finally, towards the end of the game, he has a nice catch and run. Whatever yards it was.
It was the throw that put the Lions away.
Yeah, basically. And he gets up and he spins the football like 1,000 receivers have done this season. And they throw
it. Kenny Galladay did it earlier in the game on the sideline.
I mean, multiple guys did it today. Multiple guys. Everyone does it these days. And he got flagged. And I asked Matt Nagy about it after the game. Matt Nagy said that the official called it because Miller threw it at his feet.
Yeah, well...
So I don't know if he meant the official's feet or the defender's feet.
Well, you can't do it in the direction of somebody on the opposing team.
It looked to me like it was a bad spin.
Yeah.
And the ball just, no, seriously.
You got to work on his spinning.
It looked like he just sort of rolled away when he spun it instead of being... But either way, it's so dumb to call a penalty there.
Yeah.
It clearly was not taunting. My theory is that the official was just kind of annoyed by him. It was all right, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it didn't look good. Well, I know we're talking about Mitch Trubisky right now, but Anthony Miller's swat out of on the kickoff return there on the onside kick.
Didn't know the rule, he said.
Really?
He said he didn't know it.
Oof. I think Chris Tabor's press conference, Adam, this coming week is not going to just be you and me and special guest Colleen Kane from Chicago Tribune. I think it's going to be everybody.
He's not going to like how many people are in that press conference.
No.
He counts it every week.
Yes. Well, I've been one of the 2 or 3 people there every week.
Well, you and I almost had... I mean, it was almost like a podcast sit-down.
Again, and me and special guest Colleen Kane.
Yeah, that's fine. Colleen can come on the podcast. Yeah,
absolutely.
Anyway, offense overall very, very good, except in... He was asked about it after the game, man. Nagy was not happy with the running game once again.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. I think that even makes what Mitch Trubisky's doing all the more impressive, though, by the way.
No, I thought about that during the game, too.
Yeah, because I wrote about it in today's Sun Times, that he is not benefiting like other young quarterbacks are benefiting from run games. He doesn't have Todd Gurley. He doesn't have Kareem Hunt, guys that are in the top 5 in rushing. He's got Jordan Howard, who had 11 carries for 21 yards today. It's not good. It's not good enough. His average was what? 1.9 yards per carry today? A guy that big? Come on. He had 3.5 yards per carry coming in. Not good.
Interesting that Brian Witzman played at right guard the whole game.
Yeah.
The rotation is over.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Well, Witzman started last year for Nagy's offense in Kansas City, so there's a trust level there.
You could kind of see that coming when they decided to rotate. Last week. One notable thing that happened in this game is we hit our listener over-under by early in the second quarter.
Yeah, Brian Callahan.
We had Brian Callahan with the interception a week after Kurt Fuller. They make a great tandem in the Bears secondary, yes. Brian Callahan and Kurt
Brian
Fuller.
Brian and Kurt, it sounds like a 1980s, boy band.
And Javon Williams is apparently inactive today.
Yeah. Oh, instead of who's that?
Javon Wims.
Yes. I saw that one on Twitter too.
Unless it's Nick Williams that he's making Javon. Wim, I don't
just
know.
Just make it one guy.
It could be any guy.
I get it. You got to save time in these broadcasts.
I tried to give Chris Myers some credit. I brought the over-under down to 1.5 because he called the game last week. You're thinking these are the same players.
I got you. You know what?
He got the two by the early second quarter.
Come on now. You know what I want to give credit for? So Prince Mukamara's name was misspelled on the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I saw that.
But
on
they
Twitter.
Fixed it mid-game somehow. Like in the middle
had
of play.
A backup jersey.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, if in case it gets ripped, but. Well done.
Well, that tells you he didn't notice it before the game.
No. No. It's been misspelled before.
Can you spell Mukamara off the top of your head?
Oh, gosh. A-M-U-K-A-M-A-R-A.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, we got this.
Ding. Noise. That
doink,
don't have
doink,
from
doink.
Me. Yeah, doink, doink. Pat Manley tweeted, how do I make that the sound of the ball hitting the upright my text message ringtone? How awesome would that be?
Yeah, it'd be, it'd be so fitting for him.
Oh, it'd be perfect.
You know what I was trying to find? I was trying to find a gif of, remember Doink the Clown?
Someone tweeted that.
Yes. Oh, it's Doink and Dink. I wanted to look for Dink.
Do we want to hear what Cody Parkey had to say about missing the field goals?
Yes.
All right, let's hear. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Here's some of what Cody Parkey had to say.
Missed four kicks.
Could you ever imagine that happening?
Don't think I've hit the post four times in my whole life, and I've been kicking for probably 15 years, so it's almost comical.
What were you thinking? Okay, you missed the first one, hits the post, and then it's another.
I don't really think like that. I just go out there and try to make my kicks, and unfortunately, I didn't do that today.
Did the coaches say anything to you after the first or second or third time?
Of course, they're frustrated with me, but who's more frustrated than myself? I mean, mm-hmm. This is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm missing out there. So, I mean, I just got to trust in what I'm doing and trust that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes no mistakes, and for whatever reason that is, that was the day I was supposed to have, and mm-hmm. I'm just on to the next one.
After you missed that first field goal to the right there, did you come back and maybe try to work on something with the special teams coach regarding what to do the next time you get out there?
No, I was just playing the ball down the middle today, and every time I kicked it down the middle, it just kept fading to the right. The wind was pushing it a little bit on me, but I have to be better than that. That's why I'm here.
Did you sense it was going to be a tough day in warm-ups and make a restrict a little bit?
No, I missed one kick all warm-ups. I was doing really well.
So how do you correct it?
Just keep my head down and keep working hard. You know, I pride myself in, you know, not just being a kicker that just shows up for 20 minutes and leaves. I study film. I watch myself kick a bunch. I take notes. I kick a lot. I'm really confident in myself. So on a day like today, so I can hold my head high, just knowing that I tried my best.
Cody, given that the winds are so strange sometimes, it's like you feel, have you thought about coming out and practicing during the week here?
No, sir.
Would it help? Or?
Who knows?
So it's not something you're considering?
It's not my. I guess place to say.
Cody, it's such a weird happenstance hitting the upright four times. Have you ever experienced anything like that before, or even seen it?
No, never.
Do you take any solace in the fact that I guess they were all at least close?
Well, I guess, you know, if I aim an inch to the left, I would have made, you know, at least three of them. So, it's one of those things I just have to, honestly, it's comical. I hit the post four times. I mean, that's got to be a stat, right? That's got to be impressive. But anyway, I let my team down today. I let myself down today. And I just got to keep swinging.
Cody, there's two more guys. Cody, you mentioned the word, you know, I'm confident in myself. How difficult is it to stay confident after a game like this?
I mean, I feel bad for myself, but my teammates all cheer me up, and I mean, we won the game, so that's always nice. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's honestly not too hard knowing that the work I put in leading up to this point, and this is my fifth year in the NFL. I know what I'm capable of doing, and I'm just going to keep trying to do it.
If you tried to hit the post four times, could you do it?
Probably not, honestly. Just one of those days.
All right, so there's what Cody Parkey had to say after the game. We'll have Nagy coming up here in a little bit. Nagy did not find it comical.
Amusing, Mark Potash.
Yeah. Well, Parkey said comical. Mark Potash brought it up as amusing. I think he stated that it was amusing.
Yeah. I had buddies sending me screenshots of Nagy on the sideline trying to read his lips, and he did not look amused. He did not find the whole situation comical whatsoever. It seemed to be deflating. Did you not get that sense in the stadium? It seemed to change the mood of the team a little bit. They went into a little lull.
Well, first of all, in general, I thought most of the second half was kind of sleepy and sloppy. I thought at times sloppy by the Bears. In all three phases, I thought the offense got a little complacent. The defense, understandably, set back a little bit. And Stafford's going to take advantage of that. And the special teams were really bad from start to finish all over the place. So you might be onto something there, that those misses contributed to just the team looked flat after...
Right, they got out of sorts for a little bit there.
Right, because what were they up, 26-0?
Yes. It was odd, especially the ones on the field goal attempts. Are you kidding me?
So they got outscored 22-6 the rest of the way then, because the final score... Oh, no, 8. 22-8 the rest of the way.
You weren't a math major.
No, I'm not a math major, like John Fox. 22-8 the rest of the way. I mean, and obviously the Bears were a much better team today, but that just kind of shows you. I thought they kicked in the cruise control a little bit early, but I think you might actually be onto something there, that those missed kicks and sort of the just the ridiculousness of the whole thing sort of.
Yeah, it's not like they were blocked or, I don't know, shanked. They were off the uprights.
They weren't even
four
that
times.
We're not talking about 50 yarders.
No,
either.
No.
We're talking about two extra points.
Yeah, I have never seen anything like that.
It was insane.
It was bizarre. A bit bizarre.
All right, let's hear from Matt Nagy. I thought Matt Nagy was outstanding after the game today. And then we'll get a little bit more on Trubisky and throwing it through keyholes and whatever. Here's Matt Nagy after the game. Pay particular attention, I'd say, to what he had to say about Parkey and how he took some ownership of his own coaching mistakes in this game.
All right, so to start off, nothing injury-wise, which is good. You know, that's always a positive. As a team, really happy with the way the guys came out, played a complete game. A lot of learning lessons within the game for the players, for myself and our staff. And but it's nice to be able to teach off of wins. And I think the biggest thing is when you come out of these games healthy and you get the win, it's a lot easier. And so all three phases had highs and all three phases had lows. That's a part of sports. That's a part of football. So how do you teach off of that? How do you stay positive? Individually, I thought Mitch probably had his best game of the season, without a doubt. He was on fire. He was efficient, threw the ball with conviction. His eyes were great. Really, really super proud of him for coming out here and playing that way. He played confident, and I like that. But it's not one person. Just like when someone doesn't play well, the line gave him time. The wide receivers ran awesome routes. The backs protected, and collectively we got off to a good start in that first half. And then it was a little different in the second half. But that's part of that's just how the flow goes.
To call this one his best game, he obviously played a great game here against Tampa early this season. What distinguishes today for you and really sets it apart?
Yeah, well, those two games are very similar. He was on fire against Tampa too. I think the difference was in the Tampa game, that was a lot of all four quarters, really, or, you know, three quarters. Today, it was the first two quarters things were pretty open. And in the third quarter, he was making plays now on his own and just doing some good things there in that third quarter. And I just really loved how fast he was making his decisions. And then he was really accurate. Really accurate. At the end, one of the biggest plays of the game might have been the scramble he made, you know, which could go unnoticed. But laser focus today. Not that he hasn't had it before, but you could just see it and you could feel it. And it starts with really everybody on offense and then the defense, of course, too.
Any of the external things surrounding Mitch affect that laser focus? Do the criticism, does the noise around what he accomplishes or what he doesn't affect how focused he might be any given Sunday?
I don't think at all. I don't even think he knows what the noise is. He might have an idea, but I told you guys this the other day, and I have one-on-one talks with him, and you know, we really don't care about anything but worried about what we feel, what we care about, and that's all that matters. So everybody's entitled to their opinion, but he's playing his tail off right now, and I love where he's at, and he's playing really well.
Those first couple series, especially, it seemed like you guys were running kind of two plays at a time sometimes. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, he seemed to be making a lot of decisions at the line.
And he seemed really locked in that whole time. Is that all accurate, I guess, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And did you kind of get a feeling that he was going to be as locked in as he was early?
Yeah, well, you could see it. I mean, you know, we were going no huddle. So, you know, being able to do some things there, which was the game plan all week long. That was what we wanted to do. And you just have to figure out of how you get into it and then when you want to do it. And then how it dictates, are you having success in that or are you not? Do you have to get back into the huddle? And we started out fast, had some success. And then anytime you get into a rhythm as a quarterback and you're throwing completions like he was, I don't know, I think he might have been, I don't know what he was for the half. I thought someone said 158.3. Is that perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did pretty good that first half. What's that?
How big of a boost was it to get Allen Robinson back? What impressed you about his game?
It was big. Yeah, he's again, it's a confidence thing. For anytime you have a guy that's played the game as long as he has, and he's able to give a security blanket to Mitch, he's a big target. You can put the ball in his area, and he's either going to get a PI or come down with the football. And so I thought, you know, just that comfort level of just adding another guy to our offense is just another weapon. So it made him. I'm sure it helped him out.
On both his touchdowns, he won early in the down.
Yeah.
What is so effective about him in the first second of a play?
You talking about A-Rob?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's explosive for how big he is. It's hard for teams to press him. And then when you play off, he's a big body. You can throw slants. You can do different things. And he's a good route runner. So it's just, again, we're only in week 9 right now with those two connecting. So it's early. But the trust level, that meter's really starting to go up high. And you saw it on the touchdown there, too. It kind of went to him late.
In a game like this, Cody Parkey hitting the upright 4 times.
Yeah.
Kind of amusing, but also disconcerting.
Yeah.
Which is it? What is it to you? What
well, it's certainly not amusing. But it's we expect him to make those. He expects himself to make them. Those are big kicks, whether it's an extra point or a field goal. And so what happens is it can change what you do as a play caller. And it can mess with you a little bit. But in the end, there's a nice balance that and Cody and I have a good relationship, and there's a balance between understanding how we go forward here with how we handle each other. And so, you know, mentally, you got to make sure you handle him the right way. And then physically, he's got to come out and be able to make the kicks. And so there's that trust level between his coaches and him as we go here. And it's going to be very important. We're not going to go out there and run two-point plays, and we're still going to kick field goals. So we have trust in him. And I know he's going to come back strong and make them. It's just one of those days, and we all have them. How do you come back from those?
What kind of feedback did you get from him on why it was happening? Because,
miss
so consistently is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And to be able to hit we all could go out there and kick a field goal 100 times and never hit that goalpost one time. And he did it 4 times today. And I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. But he did it 4 times. And there's could be something to it, you know, where he's hitting it. It's like, so he's, you know, he just came off and just said, you know, he hit it, the one he hit where he wanted to, and the wind just took it. So, yeah, trust me, he's going to be hard on himself, but he'll come back and he'll make some kick for us here as we go down the road, and he's going to be feeling good about it.
Well, you talked about the trust you have in him. How does this game affect that?
Yeah, it affected it today. It doesn't affect me going forward, but it affected me today. And he knew that. I mean, it's like you go back in your head. In my head, there's a balance of showing trust to him by putting him back out there, but then there's also a level of you know, understanding what's best for the team. And sometimes you just have those days. So my trust is not shot at all with him. I know everybody else is going to feel that way, and I get it, and that's okay. But where we're at right now, we just keep going. And like I said, he's going to hit some big kicks for us, just like he did last week to keep him. Himself going.
Defense played great without Khalil the last couple weeks, but what's the big difference having him back in his game today?
Well, our defense becomes better when he's in there, but our defense is pretty good when he's not in there. So the biggest question of him coming into this game was how was he going to hold up health-wise, and it seems like he did pretty well. And so, you know, it's going to help us out.
What stood out to you about the defense overall?
Yeah, the sacks, the takeaways, they were still flying around. They were their offense, Detroit's offense, I think was 3 or 4, 4 for 5 on fourth down. They went for it a lot in that, but we were good on third down. The field position wise, they had that screen there at the end of the game, and we had the onside kick, so they were out there a lot. And they were, you know, towards the end of the game, you're playing more of a prevent there. So, but overall, I really like the way they played. I thought they continued. That's three games in a row now that they played well, and that's what we need to do in these division games from here on out.
Timing-wise, the passing offense really seemed to be in rhythm today. Drops, routes coming open. What do you attribute that to?
Just the guys in practice trusting the system. I mean, we felt like we put 2 weeks together now in practice of being sharp with what we're doing. We loaded them up pretty good this week in regards to what we gave them. And they came out, our guys, I'll tell you, our wide receivers, the stuff that we give them mentally and our tight ends is a lot. And for them to get lined up right, to run the right route, to get open is a credit for them putting in the hard work throughout the week and then trusting the whole process.
What delayed you throwing the challenge flag on the fumble?
Yeah, so Detroit did a good job of going quick, and I was looking down. This is one of the faults of going through and calling plays is I was looking at my sheet to call the next play or to get the next series going, and it happened so quick, you know, with the replay and then all – late replay and then getting the them going quick, and it just was late, so that's my fault, you know. And so you know, I thought, for me, from critiquing myself, that one, and then I think I called the three worst plays of my entire life right before that. We had that missed kick down there in the big red zone. I'm still angry about that. Wow. So we went three runs, and in that situation I should have done something different. So that's going to sit on me for a little bit.
Is it likely or unlikely you'll look at other kickers this week?
Oh, no. There's zero chance of that.
Matt, did Cody benefit from practicing down here during the week, and is that a consideration?
Could he benefit from coming down here? No, it's pretty windy up at Hallis Hall too, you know. But you know, if you visually with the goalposts and the stands being in the back, but you know, he has to just keep kicking away and staying positive. This is a part of the job. It's not easy. So you gotta be mentally strong.
Anthony Miller continued his ascension today, but is it safe to say you learned a couple things there at the end of the
Yeah, he did. He came over and told all of us how he made the wrong decision there. And there's probably a lot of people, fans and coaches and players, that don't know that rule, that you cannot hit that ball going forward. You have to hit it backwards. So that's a learning lesson for him. And then you see what happens. They get the onside kick the next play. So
what about when he spun the ball? Because that seemed to be happening throughout the game.
Yeah, He said that Anthony did it at his feet. That was what I got.
What did you like about his game, Anthony's?
Well, he's got really strong hands. He played fast. He got open. Great route running. He's tough, and his confidence is starting to get really high.
How did you feel about today's running game, Coach?
Not good. No, not good. Not good enough. I don't know what our numbers were. I know right now we need to figure something out there. And it has nothing to do with any running back on our team. It has nothing to do with our offensive line. It's everybody. It's our coaches, too. We need to get better there. So, fortunately, we're able to get out of here with the win. We felt comfortable throwing the football. But as we get going here and the weather gets a little nastier, we need to be able to run the football. It's plain and simple.
Man, when you have wide open receivers like you did a couple times today, is that just the way it went today, or to you is that any kind of indication of where you're heading, or that maybe this offense is clicking at like you expected?
No, you always. I wish we could have wide open receivers on every play. But when you have them, you got to connect with them, and that's what Mitchell did. Again, I'm going to say it's those wide receivers. There's little intricacies of their routes that they got to give. They may fake a post and run a corner. They may fake a corner and run a post, or you know, the other receivers that complement the route combination. They did their job to get the guy open, and so you catch them in a certain coverage. And I wish they could all be that way, but that just there was a few plays where that happened, and that was good.
For Mitch to have as much of the green grass as you always talk
yeah.
about today, what worked well in protection between the communication there and everything?
Well, it's hard. That's a hard one to answer without truly like watching it on tape. But it just felt like, and I think the communication from what I was getting on the sideline, there was no talking about communication on the sideline that it wasn't going well. I think the O-linemen felt pretty comfortable with where they were. They had to win their one-on-one matchups, and when they had protection with the backs and tight ends, they got it. So that was important to have. You got to have that to have a good game as a quarterback.
On on Allen's last first one. Touchdown, it seemed like he was later in the progression. It seemed like Mitch looked like backside, then they cut Allen later. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you about like Mitch's ability to like start to get into full field?
Yeah.
And come late on a read and hit with that.
He's going through his full progression. And so we have plays in our system that we call them PPs, or pure progression. And right now he's progressing in that world. And that was a great example of that, you know. And so when you see that's why I'm going to be excited to watch the tape and truly see, based off of what he was seeing on the field with coverages, how fast he was getting to it, and then to make those accurate throws.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
All right, so there's Matt Nagy after the Bears' 34-22 victory over the Detroit Lions this afternoon at Soldier Field. Continuing the theme of transparency that we've seen from Matt Nagy. Granted, it's easier to be transparent when you're 6-3 and not struggling. Think about that. The Bears already have 6 wins. Already. 9 games in. They haven't had that many wins total since when they went 6-10 one year under John Fox,
the first couple years ago,
right? They're already there. But I found it really fascinating how Matt Nagy asked about the situation where he didn't throw the red challenge flag on the fumble that clearly was a fumble on the replay. He said that is the downside of calling plays, being the play caller and the head coach at the same time. He said he was looking at his play sheet. He wasn't focused on the challenge. Then it came in from above and threw it, and it was too late because the Lions were hurrying the line. So obviously the Lions had the ball, but he was preoccupied with thinking about the next offensive series.
Right, right. I like the response, but just to support him, I guess, it wasn't like an obvious call. It was in the middle of the field.
It was definitely one that you needed help from upstairs.
Yes, and I didn't see a replay immediately. And the Lions, let's give them credit. They were fast.
Yeah.
Real fast up to that line of scrimmage. So they seemed to sense, who was it, Kenny Galladay over the middle? He got popped by Kyle Fuller on that play, did he not?
Yes.
Yes. So, look, it's going to happen. It's one of those learning mistakes that Matt Nagy needs to have. But look, I'm not going to completely fault him in that situation because it was pretty bang bang and it was not a no-brainer decision right away.
Well, and I agree with you on that, which is also why I appreciate that he just came out and kind of took ownership for it.
Matt Patricia, did I do a Chris Evans there? Matt Patricia challenged 2 plays that he lost.
Yeah, he's a...
Lions didn't have any timeouts at the end
management.
Of the game.
I don't know what the hell they were doing. But just... you're right. It was kind of bang-bang. It wasn't... certainly wasn't like challenging a play where the other team gets the football, like John Fox did against the Packers.
Now, that's a challenge for the agent right there.
But Nagy took ownership of it anyway, and doesn't need to come out and say, yeah, I was actually thinking about the next offensive series, because... the point being, it's a learning experience for him, and I appreciate that he brought it up himself and took ownership for it. And then he said, unprompted, I called the 3 worst plays of my career in a row before one of the missed field goals. Which one? I can't. There's too many.
I think it was the second one.
Yeah, he said he called 3 runs in a row.
Yeah, I think that was the second one.
He was
one.
Mad at himself.
Yes, I think it was the second one. Yeah, it was an Anthony Miller end around in that, too. Was there not? Where he seemed like he had a chance and he got wrapped up. Yeah. But you know what? I'm sure he's thinking there's no way Cody Parkey hits it off the uprights again.
Well, and then on Parkey, he said, there's some news in there that who was asked point blank if they're going to look at kickers this week. And he said, he kind of laughed actually and said, no chance of that happening. Well, now, I don't know if I'll take him for his word on that because he's not the general manager. And if I was the Bears, I think Nagy said all the right things today. Again, transparency. He admitted that Parkey's misses today affected his play calling and said that today he lost trust in him for this specific game. But then he said all the right things that as a player you want to hear your head coach say. I still got trust in him going forward. We're not going to work out kickers this week. He's our guy. Blah, blah, blah. If I'm Ryan Pace, though, I bring in kickers this week just to get out ahead. And I'm not saying sign somebody. I'm saying start to bring a couple guys in and looking ahead, because if this doesn't get corrected, you need to have a kicker for the playoffs. I don't care about $9 million guaranteed.
Yeah, look, I know what you're saying, but yeah, okay, we're talking about if this continues as a trend.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's already a trend. He's not been good.
Well, and so maybe bringing somebody in motivates them.
How motivated are you going to be when you got $9 million?
Do you think
guaranteed?
They bring anyone in this week?
No, not yet.
I
not
think
yet.
That's a mistake.
Not yet.
I don't think you make a move this week.
Because I don't think it's realistic, and I think Cody Parkey should realize it's not realistic, at least right now, that cutting him is the roster move the Bears want to make. They gave him a four-year contract, $9 million guaranteed. If you cut him now, you're on the hook for like $5 million next year. You can't have that much money on your books for a kicker who's not part of your roster. It's ridiculous. Guys,
okay,
resign.
Then keep him on your roster and bring. I mean, you got to have a kicker.
Yeah,
though.
You got to find a way to motivate him. You know what they should do?
Sign somebody to the practice squad.
No, they should make him drive in traffic down to Hallis Hall two or three times during the week. That'd motivate me.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well,
he hasn't been down here enough. He's coming from.
I know
Miami.
Chris Tabor said there's too much traffic, and Matt Nagy said that it's windy enough at Hallis Hall. But then he also did say that maybe the visualization could help. Wouldn't surprise me if he does that this week.
No, he should come down here. Look, if Brandon Marshall can charter a giant bus with a bathroom and a TV screen so he can get from Hallis Hall to Trump Tower, Cody Parkey and his $9 million guarantee can afford to go down 294 and go to the Kennedy, or you can take your choice, Cody, and yeah. Get downtown.
I mean, they got to do something.
Yes, yes. They got to find an answer.
It wasn't a problem this week. Next week, you're going to play a very tough game against the Vikings. It's probably
every point's going to count.
It's going to be close. You can't be missing anything.
No. You cannot have two extra points, two field goals missed.
I almost wonder if Nagy will go for two next week a couple times.
Well,
because there's studies
totally that, don't have faith in your kicker.
Well, there's studies that show that going for two might
I get it.
Be the right
numbers
call
guy.
Well, I'm just saying. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. What else we got to get?
We should talk more about the quarterback. We have to.
Oh, yeah. So, because I have some of Trubisky on the criticism. There's a firestorm of criticism this week. Michael, let's face it. Michael Lombardi, we talked about this on Thursday. You know, got everyone hot and bothered with his comments. We played them for you. Boy, that guy was awfully quiet on social media today, I thought.
I got so many mentions of him on my. I just tweeted out Trubisky's stats after the game. That's all I did. Didn't at anybody. Didn't want to at anybody.
Oh, they'll at Michael Lombardi for you.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. Oh, they did. They're happy to. Shannon Sharp, too. I wasn't aware of what Shannon Sharp said. What
did he say?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm unaware of Shannon Sharp's criticism, but I know it's out there. Has been out there and will continue to still be out there, but this game goes a long way into shutting a lot of those critics up.
So here's what Mitch, here's the exchange he had with reporter George Offman after today's game regarding all that criticism.
Mitch, after a game like this, what do you say to critics who haven't thought very highly of your game?
Nothing. I don't say anything. I don't listen to it. I don't hear it, so I don't say anything. I don't care one bit. The only thing I care about is Coach Nagy, what he has to say, what my teammates have to say, and what they think of me. And I know there's been talk and noise going on this week. I didn't hear it directly, but I heard my teammates having my back, and that's the only thing I care about. And that's what means the world to me. My teammates have me back. People are talking on the outside, but I don't even hear it. I'm just going to go about my business, do my job, and my love for my teammates grows even stronger that way. And I just want to play that much better and play the way I know how, because I know those guys in that locker room and my head coach and my coaches and all my teammates got my back.
So you heard him there kind of admit that he was aware of the criticism, didn't hear it directly, but was probably very aware of Tariq Cohen sticking up for him. And then, you know, there's guys that are paid to keep people in the organization aware of
situations,
what's being said.
Yeah.
So they're not blindsided by questions and things like that. So I don't know if Mitch ever read or heard the comments that Michael Lombardi said, but he certainly played very, very well today, whether that motivated him or not. It just goes to show, and actually, Greg Gabriel had a tweet during the game that, I mean, kind of summed it up perfectly. And he said, look, if you want to question whether or not Ryan Pace should have drafted Patrick Mahomes instead of Trubisky, that's a conversation that can be had. But to come out and say that Trubisky is a any way a bust or just isn't good, can't get the job done in any way, it's a bad take. It's an premature take, number one.
It's uninformed. Yeah.
And so those are two different conversations. The Mahomes Trubisky thing is going to continue. But the Bears don't have a bad quarterback right now, and that's important. And, in fact, I think they have a good quarterback, one that has a possibility to be great. We see glimpses of that sometimes. We saw glimpses of that today. But to come out and say that he doesn't know what he's doing, he can't throw the ball in bounds half the time, is just ridiculous.
Why can't Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Mitchell Trubisky all be good?
Right.
There's no reason why they can't be. They're all in pretty good situations right now.
Maybe it'll end up being one of those all-time great quarterback classes.
Yeah, so you can have the debate who's the best out of them later on, but they could all be good. Let it play out. That's all we've been telling people. Right. Let it play out. He's going to have his ups and downs. He could be awful next week against the Vikings. He could be awful down the road against the Packers again. There's going to be ups and flows to this. But he's in his second season, first in this offense. The trend, at least what I'm seeing progress, and I have seen progress, even when his passer rating isn't good. I've seen him hang in the pocket. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do that against the Jets and against the Bills. He did it again today. He scrambled when he needed to today.
Pocket
made plays down the field. Oh, yeah.
Outstanding today. So I don't
know. His accuracy was outstanding today.
I don't know how he gets out of those situations sometimes. There's so many times you're like, oh, he's definitely getting sacked here, and he squeaks out and gets
Speaking of critics, do you remember like the critics earlier this year that said that Mitchell Trubisky wasn't athletic? I think Michael Wilbon of ESPN was one who thought Mitchell Trubisky wasn't athletic.
I don't know. I did not hear that, but whoever said that just isn't paying attention because coming out, he was very athletic. That was never a question.
Yes, yes. It's just, look, people have their preconceptions, whatever, from the get-go. I think a lot of it's actually rooted in the surprise of him being selected second overall.
Probably.
Not doing the advanced scouting that the Bears did and hearing talking heads ramble on about him. But let the kid play. Let the kid develop. The signs are there. At least I'm seeing them. I think the signs are there.
Oh, I think there's plenty of signs. Now, next week, you want to see that continue. Huge game. Huge game, massive game, Sunday night. You see why they flexed it, despite the fact the Bears have to play 4 days later at 11:30 in the morning, 12:30 Eastern. Vikings, Bears. Vikings coming off a bye. Both teams coming off convincing wins over the Lions, actually. And they'll duke it out here at Soldier Field. What do you think the line's going to be on this game? Dan Hampton asked me this on the post-game show. And, well, I'll let you guess
What did you say? Oh, well, okay, let me guess. 3. Just home field advantage.
You think the Bears will be favored?
Yes.
See, I actually think the Vikings might be a 1.5-point favorite.
Get their bye this weekend.
They're coming off a bye. They're more established. Their defense is coming off that 10-sack performance. Now, both of these defenses, Bears had 6 sacks today. Both of those are great defensive performances against the same opponent, the Lions. But Kirk Cousins is in a groove. They should have Stephon Diggs back. Adam Thielen's just been ridiculous. I still think the perception overall will be that the Vikings are the better football team of the two. The Bears are at home, though. I think it's going to be a very, very tight spread. I just would not shock me if the Vikings are still like a 1.5-point favorite. We'll see.
Yeah, you used the word established. I like that.
Yeah.
The Vikings are established.
They're still the team to beat.
Yep.
In the division, I mean.
Been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of veterans. All pro guys. Kirk Cousins, big fan of him. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Should be a really good game.
Don't forget that Mitchell Trubisky's first game was against the Vikings on primetime, was it not?
It was a close game.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a better defense now, and it's a better offense. I'm still amazed at how many times guys are wide open in this offense.
Matt Nagy's doing a hell of a job.
And you know what, Adam? There's another Adam coming.
Shaheen.
Mm-hmm.
You think next week?
Let's get him on the podcast.
Adam Shaheen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. 3 Adams.
Maybe Tuesday.
It's good. It's a good idea. Inject player interviews.
There we go. Tuesday. If you missed the news or you missed our last episode, we're going to 3 podcasts a week going forward. Most weeks.
Got Thanksgiving coming up. It's going to be quirky.
We're trying to figure out Thanksgiving still, but most weeks we will have three. At least this week we definitely will. So that'll be our next episode coming up Tuesday from Hallis Hall. And you know, what a perfect week to start doing this, because it's going to be a big week with Bears and Vikings coming up on Sunday Night Football. All right, well, we got to get out of here. I got to go to Filene's basement before it closes.
What are you going to get?
Something off the discount rack.
I don't even know what they have there.
I don't even think it's a real store. I think it's only online. I'm not even sure. I don't
know what it is.
I've never shopped at
Discount Clothing. Do they have doorknobs with keyholes? I don't know. I've never been.
I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go find out. I got to get there before it closes.
Yeah, I guess Google could help us, but so. I got other things to Google.
All right. Don't want to know about that. All right. By the way, voicemail line, 312-222-5050. You can chime in there. Those voicemails were coming in hot today. Should be fun to hear those. We'll still hear those on Thursday's episode. And follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Thanks to Joe Romano, our producer, Ernie Scatton. Thanks to everybody listening. We appreciate you doing that. Please rate and review the podcast, especially if we're going to 3 days a week. How about the effort? Let's rate the effort. 5-star effort.
Yeah.
4.5 stars.
Today was about a 4.
For you?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I get 5 all the way.
5? Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll have a 5 on Tuesday and a 5 on Thursday.
Well, Mitch Trubisky certainly had a 5. No question. Absolutely. About today. He was outstanding. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. Looking forward to it. Talk to you then.